Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know, we long for our souls to be free, yet most of us, if we're honest, can still identify places of captivity within us. But Jesus came to set us free. You know, Scripture says, if the Son sets you free, what? You are free indeed. Wouldn't you love to experience a personal revival? Wouldn't you love to experience freedom in places of captivity that you probably never expected or dreamed you could be free? And what if that freedom and personal revival turned into a corporate revival? What if each of us really brought ourselves before God to say, search me, Lord, show me these things that I don't see. Show me what's holding me back. I want you to have more real estate in my soul. Revive me, God. And as you live your life revived, it just sort of spills out onto those that are in your sphere of influence. What if, like a wildfire, it just caught, you know? We need it, don't you think? We're desperate for such a thing. Well, Kim Meador joins me today to talk about her book, Revival Rising, Embracing His Transforming Life. And we had her on a few times, but we talked about her book, Encountering Our Wild God. I think we got 100 texts last time she was on for her book. That was wild in itself. So we've got 6 copies of her new book, Revival Rising, Embracing His Transforming Fire. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Text the word book. We got to do it this way because we are so committed to getting resources to you every day. We give away books pretty much every single day on the show, but we don't have the manpower to manually enter all these drawings. So for you to just take a few seconds, you'll get a link. Once you text just the word book, it'll kick back a link. It just takes you a moment. You just fill out that form and it enters you into the drawing. We sure appreciate the help. A couple quick announcements before we hear from Kim. One, if you've been impacted by Ravi Zacharias, we want so much to honor his incredible memory. We just love him. We loved having his program, I think, for 17 years on Faith Radio. So we set up a voicemail on our Faith Line for you to call in to share how Ravi's life and even his program on Faith Radio impacted you. We're going to put kind of a montage together. Would you help us? Would you call? You can call our Faith Line, the same number, 877-933-2484. So when you push 1, you can leave a testimony or have a question. That's just the one, line 1. Line 2 is giving. Line 3 is the designated voicemail for Ravi. So when you call the Faith Line, you push 3 and tell us how Ravi's life, ministry, and even program impacted you. Now, another important announcement. You've got to join us tonight. Please join us tonight at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time for our live stream event. I'll be on with Dr. Troy. We're going to talk about how to win the fear-worry battle. We'll talk about the physiological implications of letting fear and worry wreak havoc in our lives, tools God has given us to overcome. And we've got about $1,400 worth of giveaways to give away. I am super excited about this. Do not miss it. Mark your calendars. The link to the live stream is even up right now on our website, so you can maybe grab it and put it on your calendar, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Kim Meador is a best-selling author whose humanitarian work has garnered national acclaim. She's also the co-founder and CCO of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. She and her husband, Troy, have helped establish over 200 similar ministries worldwide. They've helped thousands of kids and families. They enjoy wilderness adventure and live in Bend, Oregon. Kim, welcome back to the program.
Wow. Thank you so much, Susie, for having me back. It's always a privilege.
Well, I probably need to tell our listeners to buckle up because there's nobody quite like you. And I look forward to our conversation. So let's start here. We love to start by talking scripture, and I know you're in God's Word on a regular basis. What is he been talking to you about in his Word these days?
These days, oh my goodness, friend, what just keeps resonating is from the Old Testament at 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that's when God is speaking over his people saying, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your junk, then I'm going to hear you and I'm going to forgive you. And then I'm going to heal your land, beginning with the land of your heart. Let's just start there. And that we cry out to God all day long, and in this really unique time in our nation, there's a lot of people who are hurting and crying out to the Lord. And we have a responsibility first to come to Him in humility and admit that we need Him, and to talk to Him in prayer, and then to pursue Him. There's all this movement about, God, you just need to pursue me. Well, guess what? He already has. He sent His Son. It's our turn to pursue Him and turn away from the things that lead us away from His presence. And that's when He hears and forgives, and that's when the healing comes. It's an outpouring of us coming to Him first in humility, in prayer, pursuing Him and turning away from all other things. That's where the healing starts, in our heart, in our home, in our communities, and in our nation. Hmm. Second Chronicles 7:14.
Somebody give me an amen. Yes, and amen. Well, tell me, Kim, how this book, Revival Rising, was first born in your heart.
It's been in my heart for quite some time, and I think, like many, many others, this actually, I tried to write it several years ago, and the Lord said, not yet, not yet. And this book was actually written a year and a half ago and slated to come out right now, for such a time as this.
Wow.
His timing is His.
It is, isn't it? It's always an amazing and divine thing. I've got one coming out, and it was supposed to come out a year ago, but I needed to push back my deadline because of some extenuating circumstances for me. And so it's coming out in September, and it's called Prevail, and it means to prove more powerful than your opponent. And I feel like that too. I felt so bad in my weakness. I was having some physical issues that I needed to push that deadline back. And then I look at, even in our weakness, He is strong, and He works all things together for the good. I marvel at His goodness. All right, well, let's talk about this. Your first chapter is titled Reawaken My Freedom. I want to know for you, Kim, what the process of freedom has looked like.
I love that Jesus spoke in parables to show us something that we can see and understand, to illustrate something we're trying to understand. And when it comes to freedom, I think it could look like this. Recently, I was spending time in the Word in the morning. It was the first early morning. Didn't make a fire in the wood stove. We live in very, very cold country. And I'm spending time in the Word, and I can hear a commotion over my head. And it could only be a bird falling down the stovepipe and trying to gain purchase and escape a prison that it couldn't, until it finally fell on the stove box. And so I was able to put a towel over it and reach in and very gently clasp a bird and draw it out into the light. And the bird, it was a female starling, despised bird of all birds, and to draw her out in the light, and she was covered in soot and ash. And I carefully carried her outside, and she's looking at me, I'm looking at her, and I just carefully flattened my fingers. And without being told what to do, her hardwiring DNA, she instantly flew away into what she was designed to be. And what the Lord showed me in that moment is, here's what she didn't do. She didn't fly back over your shoulder, in through the door, back into the firebox and close the door. She flew hard and fast into the freedom that has been given to her. And Jesus Christ is calling you and I to do the same thing. When you know who you are in Jesus and who Jesus is in you, nothing will stop you from flying hard and fast into the absolute freedom that only He can give you. Only His love can give you, and what He offers to you every minute of every day. If you and I are not living in freedom, it's for one reason only. We have chosen to fly back into the box and close the door. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ left heaven's glory and came to this earth and lived a perfect life and laid that life down for you and for me, and He rose again. And when He did that, He broke the lock on that prison door of suffering and sin. And friends, it's a fact that all of us are going to spend time in that firebox of ash, of despair, and that soot of grief and bitterness and unforgiveness and guilt and shame. And when we do, there's no better time to know that the door is open. And it is Jesus himself who is reaching in and saying, take my hand. Do you know how much I love you? Take my hand and I will release you into the freedom that I've already purchased for you. Friends, let today be that day.
Let today be that day. You write this, I'm getting ready to pause for a break, but I got to read this. You said, as you walk into the freedom of Jesus, the hooks of pain the enemy throws at your back only have power when you empower them with your attention. When pain becomes your focus, it becomes your God, and you lose sight of the only one who can heal you. So on the other side, Kim, I would love for you to speak to that person who feels paralyzed by fear right now. You know, they know in their head what's right. They hear you say, take his hand. Okay. But they feel stuck. They feel paralyzed just by their pain. I wonder if you'd had some advice for them. Let's talk about that on the other side. I'm talking to Kim Meador. Her book is Revival Rising, Embracing His Transforming Fire. Kim writes like she speaks. It's a fireball of a book. You've got 6 copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Kim Meador. She wrote the book Revival Rising, Embracing His Transforming Fire. Embracing His Transforming Fire. We've got 6 copies to give away. Text the word book if you want to walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased for you. You want just some direction on how to walk in a personal revival that really just catches fire to those around you. Text the word book to get in the drawing, 877-933-2484. And I read this before the break, but I want to read it again. Kim writes, as you walk into the freedom of Jesus, the hooks of pain the enemy throws at your back only have power when you empower them with your attention. When pain becomes your focus, it becomes your God, and you lose sight of the only one who can heal you. And what I was asking you, Kim, if you'd speak to the person who's paralyzed by fear right now, they love Jesus. They know what you're saying is true in their head, but they're just stuck because of their heart. What do you say?
Right, right. I love what you said, Susie, earlier in Galatians 5:1. That it is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. He did not endure the cross for you and I to choose to live in that black, ashy firebox of fear. In 1 John 4, God's word says that perfect love casts out all fear, and God is love. So wherever God is in your life, fear cannot be. And so fear is never from God, ever, ever. Fear is always from the enemy. And whenever we have that choking throat, wave of fear, that is our red light crossing of like the railroad crossing, the bars coming down. The enemy is trying to gain access into your heart through this means. Ding, 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 ding. Look at this right now. The enemy wants you to trust in your fear more than your God. And that what I can tell you is that fear and faith can't live in the same place. We choose God or we choose our fear. And my encouragement to those who are saying, I want to, but I'm just so scared. My encouragement to you is it looks exactly like being in the tunnel before a great game. And there's a single light at the end of the tunnel and you can hear the crowd cheering. And that is the Hebrews' great crowd of witnesses. And they are calling for you to run out onto the field because there's no other you in all of history. And the world needs you now to get into the game, get into the activity of sharing the gospel and what Jesus Christ has done for you. And my encouragement is to start running. And know that your fear is tissue paper thin. And one single courageous act will take you right on through. This is what Jesus is calling you. Run, beloved, run. Run with me. Keep your eyes on me. Stop looking at the fear and jump through that tissue paper of fear that has been confining you to a paper prison. Run with me today. Put your eyes on me and let's do this. That's what I would encourage you with today.
Beautiful. I was going to say, my friend, you don't talk like someone who had a major tragedy as a child. And I just think people need to know a little bit of context for who missed our previous interview. I know you don't have time to go into it in depth, but just for context's sake, show what the enemy tried to do and what God has done.
Oh, sister, let's talk about some fear. Growing up as a kid, you know, I was 9 years old, worshiped my mom, worshiped my dad. They were the greatest people on earth and just grew up in the castle of their love. And it was during that time, my dad's best friend came and picked me up at my little school, my two older sisters, and he wouldn't speak to us. And I knew that something horrible had happened. And we drove in silence this familiar road to my grandparents' house. And we got there and there were cars parked everywhere. And for the first time in my life, I did not want to go into a home where I only ever felt love because I was afraid. And I was just taken by my shoulders and shoved into the house, and it was full of all these grieving, wailing people. And I was pushed into the arms of this woman that I recognized. I didn't know her name. And she was crying so hard that she sounded like she was choking. And she just kept going around and around in this nauseating vortex of, I'm sorry, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say this. I don't know what to say. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to tell you, but your dad has just murdered your mother and taken his own life, and I'm sorry. And I remember just screaming and pushing off of her chest and running out the back door in this child's effort to outrun the unthinkable, and just running and running and running until there was nothing left, and falling down in the dirt. And I had been running through an orchard that had been plowed, and I was inhaling dirt and gagging and choking and retching. And I could hear what I thought were animal sounds. And I didn't even recognize my own voice as I started to say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. I need you now. And Susie, I didn't even know who Jesus was. I wasn't raised in the church. To my memory, I had only been to church twice in my life. Mm-hmm. And all I knew about Jesus is I think he's the guy on the cross. And I did not know the power of Romans chapter 1 that says, basically, it doesn't matter who you are, what culture you were raised in, what you were taught to believe, or what religion your family is. When your heart is being crushed, every human being knows intuitively to turn to the one who made your heart, because you know he's the only one who can heal and redeem it. And that's exactly what happened. I did not turn to Jesus because I went to church or because of what somebody told me I should do. I met him that day. That is the power of his love. And that truth, all I knew in that moment, I didn't know the power of Romans 10:13 that says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. It is that simple. All I knew in that moment is there was a pop inside my heart and an ignition of hope that I could not define, and a knowing everything's going to be all right and I am not alone. That is the beginning of my relationship with Jesus.
And, you know, one of the things that I think is so defines your ministry is a really incredible gift of discernment, discerning right from wrong, good from evil, truth from lie. God's giving you discernment. And I think that you, as a child, endured unspeakable evil in that. I mean, talk about getting your world shattered, especially how you felt in your home, how you felt about your parents, and that happening. God, you know, took what the enemy meant for absolute evil and turned it for good, and that he made you a fierce warrior, because the broken people that come to your ranch are so mangled up in truth from lie, right, and evil and upside down. And I just feel like that's one of the incredible treasures in the darkness God has given you for the ministry he's given you to do.
You know, friend, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 is true. And basically what that says is God is saying, don't you know that I'm going to comfort you in your time of need? So when others go through something similar, you can give them my comfort, that my comfort is so powerful. It will not only heal you, it will heal everyone you give it to. And that, friend, our pain has a purpose when we give it to Jesus Christ. And he's the only one who can take what the enemy meant for utter obliteration and transform it into the very thing that gives you life. And not only you, but those around you as well. Mm. Only Jesus' love can do that.
Hey, man, I often say, you just take the worst thing that you've ever done or that ever has been done to you, turn the tables, and I think a lot of times you will get a glimpse of the call of God on your life, where God is going to take something out of the wreckage of those ashes and do something amazing. And the devil hates the idea of it. But, I mean, if we can turn that around rather than being constantly identified by what we've done or what's been done to us, as you said, let's looking back and giving it so much more power. That is where freedom and power happens, isn't it?
Amen. That God will use every minute of the pain we have endured. Our pain has a purpose. The only purposeless pain known in the realm of men, there's only one pain that has no purpose whatsoever and that cannot, that destroys. And that is the pain that we will not release to Jesus Christ. Hmm. And that is just pain that destroys. When we give God our pain, he's the one who transforms it into something beautiful and powerful and a weapon of unstoppable holy warfare. When somebody is in pain, nothing is more powerful than for them to hear someone say, I know what you're going through because I've been through that too. And beloved, let me tell you, you're going to be all right. And here's how I know. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me and what he can do for you.
So, friend, Carissa, do you hear that? You're going to be all right. And Judy, you're going to be all right. Molly, you're going to be all right. Kay, Kathleen, just talking to some of these friends who've texted in. Peggy,
Jesus.
Leanne, Missy, Susan, you're going to be all right. Anonymous, you're going to be okay. This is what Kim writes. Friend, if Jesus is your Lord, you're already free. Now is the time to ask Jesus to reveal the shackles of whatever's captured your attention and realign your life's focus on him alone. Now is the time to stand up in his reawakened freedom within you and start living as if you believe it's true. So, friend, maybe there are some steps today. I know there are some steps today that you can take to live as if your freedom is true, because Jesus bought it for you. He won it for you. Talking to Kim Meter today, her book, Revival Rising, Embracing His Transforming Fire. We've got 6 copies to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. Text the word amen if you just feel like it, because that always makes me happy. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Yes, you know what? He does. He makes a way where there is no way. Even when you feel stuck, when you feel backed into a corner, you can't see a way out. You know what? That's no hindrance to God. You know what? When you are with Christ, you are in Christ, and he is in you, all the odds against you are basically meaningless because you serve a way maker and a miracle maker. So grateful that you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson talking to Kim Meter today. Her book, Revival Rising, Embracing His Transforming Fire. We've got 6 copies. I'd love to get a copy into your hands. If you want to text the word book, just book. It'll kick back a link. If you don't get a link kicked back, it's probably because you went book smiley face or book exclamation point. And here's the number, 877-933-2484. You know, I was thinking about the parable of the soils, Kim, and how there, you know, we can bear 30, 60 to 100 times what's been planted in our soil if we cultivate in our life an atmosphere for growth. But one of the scenarios was when the thorns in the thickets, the lure of wealth and the cares and the worries of this world. And that's just so typical of us in the West, in the Christian church, really, because we get so busy doing so many things. And there's times our tensions are divided. I want to read this from your book and have you speak to it, Kim. Because you say, our Heavenly Father does not want to redeem, heal, and free only part of your heart, a portion of your soul, a bit of your mind, and a piece of your strength. Complete renewal before God begins when you stop pursuing God with your parts and your pieces, and you start pursuing Him with your all. We have an incredible opportunity in this global pandemic to reset our gaze, don't we? I want you to speak to that.
Mm-hmm. We do. When we choose to only give God a part of our heart, that is exactly, I'm just in picturing us holding up, you know, this little pinch, and God, here's my heart. You can just have my heart. And we're holding up this little smidgen. And when we only give God part of our heart, that is exactly the same as giving Him part of our cancer. Hmm. He is not interested in healing part of you, because the rest of that's still going to destroy you. He wants to heal all of you. He wants to redeem all of you. He wants to lead all of you. But He can only do that when we will entrust all of us to all of Him. Again, I'm super visual. And as a rancher, I can tell you, in loading horses into horse trailers, until that 1,200-pound animal, until all of that horse gets into the trailer, you're not going anywhere. cannot lead part of a horse until all that horse decides to go with you. You are not going anywhere. And across this great nation, there's a lot of believers that are not going anywhere, and they don't understand why. Mm. And the reason is they have not given all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength to the only one who can heal, redeem, fill, and lead them. And as they pursue that, that's when everything changes. It does not matter if you're confined to your home. When we are front and centered before God the Father, Jesus the Son, filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit with His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, when the world crushes you in such a time as this, that's what comes out. He is what comes out. And that's what transforms the environment you're in, because people don't get it. You should be mad and sad and upset and crushed and devastated and unforgiving and bitter and just die in that place. And yet when we allow ourselves to be filled, heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything that He is, He's what comes out. And that beauty is what floods into the environments around us and fills them with light, hope, peace, joy, everything that He is. And that's what draws the masses in, that whatever that is, I want what you have because I don't have that.
Yeah.
That's what He's calling us to do for such a time as this, in your home, in your apartment, at your ranch, wherever you are. What a time to place your heart before His and say, get after it, Jesus. I'm bringing it all to you. Now fill me up and pour me out.
Yeah. Do in me and through me what I cannot do for myself. And, you know, I'm fascinated just as a person who's battled in the health and health-wise, I've been fascinated by brain science and how it's catching up with Scripture. And what's so interesting, science says this apart from faith, but the Bible shows that it's true, is that whatever you fixate on and repeat and rehearse in your brain becomes hardwired, and it drops down into your subconscious, which fuels your instinctive reactions. So it becomes involuntary after a while. So if you're fixating on your pain, you're fixating on your fears, suddenly your involuntary reaction, your default is fear. But, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. If you start to just continue to rehearse memories of God's goodness, when the enemy tries to trigger you, your instinctive reaction will be, well, I have a good father. You know, yeah, I've already thought about that, but then I thought about it in light of God's goodness. I have a good father. Our thought process is huge, isn't it?
Right. Right. And that where that I think I famous pastor speaks this all the time. I think his name is Bill Johnson, and he says all the time, we become what we behold, and God's word says this as well. And he's just quoting God's word. We become what we behold. And if we are focused, whatever we're focused on is what we are going to reflect back into the world. And so if we are so focused on our pain, this is where depression starts, by focusing on all that we lack instead of all that we have. And this is what our legacy becomes to the world, and what that river that is flowing through our life becomes. Everything that hurts and that's broken, and what's been done and what wasn't said and what I expected and my disappointments. And that's what we pour out into the environments around us, is negativity and hurt and pain. When Jesus says, don't you realize I've designed you to reflect everything that I am, and I want to fill you with all the fruit of my spirit. And when you're filled with me, you can't help but not partake of all of that, that you literally become a vessel of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. You become those things in the world for my glory. And that is literally what I was talking about when I was teaching you how to pray, by saying that, God, that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. When we allow ourselves to be so focused on you that literally the spirit of heaven starts flowing through us into the earth, into the world around us. And that's what changes the world for God's glory, not for our pain. Big difference.
Big difference. Well, in your section in the book, Restore My Soul, you address the issue of trust. And you say that most of us think we trust God right up until we don't. And that trust is really not a thought or a feeling, but it's actually an action. And I want you to speak to that with regards to people who, you know, you work with so many broken, wounded souls. When their trust has been just shattered, it is so hard and painful to rebuild. And even because it's easy to project mistrust onto God. So talk about trust being an action, especially in light of someone who's going, you don't know where I've been, what I've walked through. I want so much to trust God, but I do trust him in bits and pieces. And because it's so hard for me. It doesn't come easy for me.
You know, my grandmother's favorite verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and we all know it, and lots of us have it in our homes on plaques, and it simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All is an all-inclusive word. There's nothing outside of that. And we know this in our head. It just takes more time for it to get into our heart and then come out through our actions. And probably one of the greatest examples I've seen of this is I was out in the wilderness with some sisters of mine who I love dearly, and I didn't realize we were free climbing some rock, and one of them was terrified. And I've known her whole life, and this was the first time I knew she was terrified of heights. And so, a super long story to make it short, it was starting to get dark. We were only a mile away from the truck, but we had to climb over a rocky ledge. And she was so terrified that she couldn't do it. We found a tree. It was leaning up against this rock, and we could climb up the tree trunk up onto the rock. And so I climbed up first. It was a little tippy at the top. She just steeled herself, and she starts climbing. She's 10 feet off the ground, and the tree moves a little bit. And she just drops down and bear hugs it and starts to cry. I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. Mm. And I reach for her and I said, look at my face, take my wrist, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to pull you the short distance between us up onto the flat surface of this rock. Are you ready? One, two, wait. And she looked right at my face and she was streaming tears and she said, promise that you've got me. Promise that you won't let go. Promise that you won't let me fall. And I said, I promise. Are you ready? And she just nodded her head. And I counted to three. One, two, three. And pulled. And she just leapt and landed face down on this rock, just weeping and shaking. And Susie, in that moment, the Lord allowed me to see something. And the scene, without changing, all of a sudden, I was the one on the rock. You were the one on the rock. Every single person who calls Jesus their Lord was on the rock. And I could hear him say, this is what I want to do with all those who say they are mine. I want you to look at my face. Stop focusing on what you fear. Stop focusing on what you're clinging to other than me. You reach up here and take my hand, and I'm going to draw you deeper into my presence and onto the rock that I am, which is my love for you. Beloved, slap your hand in mine and allow me to pull you into my presence.
Somebody needed to hear that today. In fact, if you feel so bold, I won't read your name if you don't want me to, but I want to know what you've been fixating on. When you hear Kim talk about this and you get the vision of just your heavenly Father on that big rock going, my hand's outstretched. Just look at me. Look at me. Reach for my hand.
Right.
What are you clinging to? What are you afraid of? And if you you can say no name, please, as you text, I won't read your name. But I'd love to just be able to read some of these so friends know that they're not alone. Kim and I would actually really love to pray for you.
Yes.
You know, again, full disclosure, I'm not always, I always, when I talk with Kim, get so inspired and I get a holy kick in the pants in my face when I talk with you. I'm coming through a kind of a rough patch here, not feeling the best again lately. And it's, you know, it's taken a bit of a toll on my soul, to be honest with you. So I'm being as nourished as you are today, Geraldine and Carissa and Sue and Tammy, Melania. I'm with you in this. I feel like God gathered us together for a purpose to encourage each other. Just want to be honest about that. So, Kim, you're a gift to all of us. We're going to pause here. Mm-hmm. When we come back, Kim, I'm going to have you share a story of one day when your hubby called you down to the office and said, sit down, this is not good news, and how you processed what you were about to hear and how God met you. And once again, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around and strengthened you in a profound way. Talking to Kim Meter, her book is Revival Rising, Embracing His Transforming Fire. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Carissa says, I've been afraid that he'll let me suffer beyond my ability to endure. Carissa, I've had that same fear at times. And we're going to pray for you when we come back. Back in a minute. Song. Thanks so much for tuning in to Midday. Susie Larson here talking to my friend Kim Meter, who's a wild woman. I love her. Her book is titled Revival Rising, Embracing His Transforming Fire. And Kim writes like she speaks. I'm telling you, I always say if this kind of thing doesn't, you know, fan your flame, your wood just might be a little bit wet. 877-933-2484. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. One of the questions I asked before the break is, as Kim told a story about a woman who just was paralyzed in fear, and Kim was stretching out her hand going, I got you, just jump. What are you clinging to? Where Jesus is saying, look at me, I've got you. Chris says, I've been afraid that he will let me suffer beyond my ability to endure. And again, that's been a place that I've gone at times. And then this dear listener wants to be anonymous. I'm afraid God will ask my daughter to suffer with no relief. I would rather suffer myself than watch her suffer. And she says, praying you'll feel better soon, Susie. Thank you for that. So I'm wondering, Kim, if you would pray for Carissa and for this anonymous mama who's concerned about her daughter. Would you pray?
Yes. Jesus, Jesus, Lord Jesus, I pray the power and the authority of your great name over Carissa and over this mom that is living in fear of what could happen. And Jesus, I pray over this precious mama who that's a mama's heart and a mama bears love. And I so get that. And Jesus, over Carissa and over the fear of pain and suffering. And that's how the enemy works, is the threat of something we cannot control and we don't believe we can survive. And Jesus, those are threats, but your word is true. And your word promises that you will never give us more than we can bear. Not ever. That's what is true. And that the power of your love is what we could stand on every single day. And I pray the power of your love and your hope and your peace over this beloved mama and over Carissa right now, and that they would literally feel the power of the Holy Spirit bringing your love and your peace over them. And it would be so palpable, they would be literally drawing you in, your love, your peace, your joy, and your hope, and exhaling out the fear and just taking you in. And that even now you would be filling them with verses from your word of your truth. I've got you, I've got you, I've got you. Everything's going to be okay. Eyes on my face and run with me. Come on, beloved. We're almost home. Jesus, thank you that you promise in your word in Psalms 37:23 that you care about every detail of our lives. I thank you so much. I love you. I praise you. I worship you now for the answer for Carissa and this precious mama. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Father, I lift up this dear listener who wants to remain anonymous, gentleman who has a fear of failure as a leader of his family and a breadwinner. And so many feel that way. But I pray for this dear brother, God, that you would just, he would feel your father hands on his face, hearing you say, Lord, son, I'm so proud of you. I've anointed you and appointed you for such a time as this. And it's in my word that I will never fail you. And I will always provide. And you're rich according to my riches, not yours. And see if I don't open the floodgates of heaven as you trust me, as you sow in faith as I call you to, as you stand in faith, I will be your provider. I will be your defender. I will be the one who establishes you. And thank you, Lord, that even though it is hard to lose jobs and incomes, those things do not define us. This, dear listener, is defined by the King of Heaven who knows his name. And we just pray blessing on that household. Restore what the enemy's stolen. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord.
And to this father, the Lord is asking me to encourage you to read Psalms 32, 33, and 34. And I don't know what that means for you, but that's what he's saying.
All right. Thank you, friend, for texting in. So you also, in the book, you tell a story. I could feel my stomach tightening up as I'm reading it, but you were called down by your husband to your office at the ranch, and you had a sense of something was kind of looming on the horizon. Tell us what happened, if you would.
You know, my husband called me on my birthday, and I thought it was a joke, and I thought they were going to ambush me and throw me headfirst into a horse trough, because that's what we do.
This was your birthday? I missed that detail. Oh, my.
Yeah, it was
my
birthday.
Oh, hi.
And so I thought it was a joke. And I walked into the office and I saw his face, and there was a couple staff members there, and just that ashen look that this is no joke. And what transpired is that years earlier, someone, a family that had been coming to the ranch, a family member had been offended by something that I said. Long story, but the bottom line is that it was such a simple detail that one clarifying question is, hey, this is what I heard you say. Is that what you mean? Oh, my goodness. No, that's not. Oh, I'm so sorry. And it was just so minor, one of those little things. And because that little thorn was never brought to light and never removed, it just grew and grew and grew. And then the record of wrong started growing year upon year upon year of everything that I had done and said that was wrong and that had allegedly inflicted them. And they got to a boiling point where everything in their life was my fault and wrong because I was a terrible person. And they had been bringing their family to the ranch for almost a decade. And the ranch had supplied house payments and tires for their vehicle. And not because we're great, but because God is great. And because we were just passing on what he had entrusted to us. And in a moment of pride, this individual swept up all their children and a handful of others and stormed away and said, we're never coming back because you're an awful person.
Oh my.
And I just started to weep, and I walked back up to my home, and I felt like concrete. I went into my office and I just burst into tears, and I was sitting there with my elbows on my desk and my head in my hands, and I was just weeping and weeping. And finally, I could hear myself say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make this right. Lord, I don't know what to do. And like a bell on a cold morning, his voice just cut through. And what I heard him say was, I want you to worship me right now. Right now. Beloved, worship me. And I started to try to sing in my tear-choked voice, and I could see a picture, and it was this huge, filthy, it looked like a rug, and it was on me, and it was dark red, like a dark red Persian rug, and it had these huge, wet, creamy smears running off of it in these big drops of, it looked like pus, and it stunk, and it was on me. And as I pulled my hands away from my face and started to choke out worship and adoration for my Lord, I could see its edges start to curl. And the more I worshiped God, the more it curled. And the more I worshiped, the more it was literally retreating from worship. And finally, I just popped up out of my chair and shot my arms up in the air, and it just flew off in this wah. As I started to worship the Lord. And that's when I realized that genuine worship is a weapon of warfare that Satan has no defense against. None, none, none. He cannot stand against the word of God, worship of God, the name of Jesus, or the blood of Jesus. And when we worship God, we break off the enemy's attack, because what we're telling Satan is, I don't fear you. I fear God, and he's crazy about me. So if you want to keep up this attack, what you're going to see is me worshiping God. So help yourself, because I'm diving in. And he can't fight against that. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat was going to be attacked by three uncountable armies. And worship defeated everything, every one of them. Acts 16, Paul and Silas, falsely accused, thrown in prison. They did nothing wrong, beaten almost to death. And they're sitting in the dungeon with their feet in stocks in a pool of their own blood. They had every right to say, but God, where are you? Why would you allow this to happen to me? And they never lost sight of the mission. And that was to bring the Spirit of the living God into the darkness. And they sat in the darkness and worshiped. And a great earthquake happened. Jailer got saved. Prisoners got saved. Jailer's family got saved. Everybody received the hope of Jesus Christ, because they never lost sight of the mission, which was bigger than their circumstances and bigger than their current pain. And they changed the environment.
Fantastic. We've just got about a minute left, and I want to make sure that's so good. Just because, friends, we're in this together, and as you read some of these texts, we can be praying for each other. This dear listener says, after 30 years of marriage, my husband left me, moved 500 feet from me, and let all his girlfriends paraded in front of me. And the story goes on. I'm divorced. It never ended in many ways. Why, after his freedom, did he need to keep hurting me? I need help to forgive. This dear one says, I'm afraid of letting go of my eating disorder. And this one says, I have a fear of not getting past. I'm sorry, I can't make my screen switch over. There it is. I have a fear of not getting past my fears, fear of not being able to take thoughts captive. I have a fear of evil. So let's see here. I've just got about 30 seconds left, so I've got to watch the clock. So if you don't mind, Kim, I'm going to just pray for these friends real quick.
Do it.
And then we're going to say goodbye. Father in heaven, I just lift up these friends. I lift up the one who just suffered such massive injustice in marriage with her husband leaving her and parading his sin. Vindicate her, heal her, restore her.
Yeah.
I pray for the one who's afraid of letting go of that eating disorder, that they would see your tender face, your steely eyes, your strong hand, and they would let go and lay hold of you. Now, this dear one is so afraid of not getting past her fears. Would you again just heal her soul, heal her heart, and give her boldness and courage? Give her a vision of what a healed her looks like, a free, bold her looks like, in Jesus' name. We love you. We honor you, God. You are our King, and we thank you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You're Kim. Amen. We are out of time, and you got to come back, because we love you to pieces. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, my beloved sister. God bless you and be with you and all you do for him.
Thank you, my friend, and hope you found some encouragement here today. Hope you meet us back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Suzy Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And never miss a show.